This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, economic, social, and technological. I'm Susan Chudy.
And I'm Stephen Chudy. Tonight we're looking at the Fair Trade Movement, which aims to pay workers in other countries a fair wage and to provide decent working and living conditions for them. We'll be talking first with Adrienne Fritsch-Frankel, who manages the Fair Trade Program for Global Exchange in San Francisco, and that includes the Cocoa Program. Thus, our opening movement, Coo Coo for Cocoa, by the Hit Crew in its tribute to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Then we'll go local to talk with Liza Tedesco, the interim general manager of Chico Natural Foods, about the co-op's program to provide fair trade food in the store. And we'll also be discussing a celebration that will take place in Chico this Saturday, as our town has earned the label of Fair Trade Town in recognition of community interest in this program.
Ecotopia is made possible by member contributions and by Many Gifts Healing, helping people through life transitions with craniosacral and visceral therapies, acupressure, and support for birthing and end of life. You can contact Malama McNeil at 864-2134 or email manygiftssm@gmail.com. And by Serenity Homes, specializing in Fuqua manufactured homes built using sustainable building practices. They offer over 70 floor plans with assistance on all site development needs from permits to the final inspection. More information is available on the web at www.serenityhomes.com or at their showroom, located at 2490 Bruce Road. Serenity Homes can be reached by calling 566-9480.
And we want to remind you that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We'll be back with some information on the Fair Trade Movement right after this musical serenade to chocolate from Wu Red Rain from its album Chocolate.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR Chico, and tonight we're discussing the Fair Trade Movement. At the risk of telling you some things you already know, we want to begin by explaining the concept and practice of fair trade and to distinguish it from free trade, which is something altogether different and in many respects diametrically opposed to fair trade. From Transfair USA, the organization that oversees the fair trade movement, comes this description. The roots of fair trade can be traced back to projects initiated by churches in North America and Europe in the late 1940s. Their goal was to provide relief to refugees and other poverty-stricken communities by selling their handicrafts. Compared to conventional trading structures, these alternative trade organizations offered higher returns to producers in the developing world through direct trade and fair prices. In the U.S., organizations such as 10,000 Villages have followed this model with fair trade handicrafts. And in 1986, Equal Exchange was formed to import fair trade coffee to the U.S. market. In 1997, Fair Trade Labeling Organizations was created to standardize the labeling process. Today, FLO has representation in 19 countries across Europe, North America, and Japan.
So what does it take for a product to receive fair trade certification? Through a complex certification process, employers must show that workers receive a fair price and a living wage for their product, that they have to have fair labor conditions, including freedom of association, safe working conditions, and living wages. Forced child labor is strictly prohibited. There has to be direct trade, eliminating unnecessary middlemen. There has to be democratic and transparent organization. Fair trade workers decide democratically how to invest fair trade revenues. There needs to be community involvement. Fair trade businesses invest in social and business development projects like scholarship programs, quality improvement trainings, and organic certification. And it must be environmentally sustainable. So harmful chemicals, genetically modified organisms are strictly prohibited in favor of environmentally sustainable production methods that protect workers' health and preserve valuable ecosystems for future generations. By contrast, free trade, most obviously the controversial North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, reduces or eliminates tariffs and lets the free market set prices and wages. Although free trade claims to open borders between countries around the world, in fact, it has been shown to create the very kinds of conditions that fair trade opposes. Free trade leads to low wages, unsafe working conditions, child labor, exportation of American jobs abroad, and sweatshops as corporations seek to pay the lowest possible amount for the goods they import.
From Global Ministries comes this, we think, fair and even-handed discussion of fair trade versus free trade. Free trade agreements can be beneficial, they say. They provide access to one another's markets and allow countries to concentrate on the production of goods they are best capable of producing. According to Oxfam, quote, participation in world trade has figured prominently in many of the most successful cases of poverty reduction, and compared with direct financial aid, it has far more potential to benefit the poor. The drawbacks to free trade, as described by Global Ministries, include the fact that multinational corporations are taking advantage of highly exploitive employment practices in developing countries and using relaxed labor laws to their advantage, while workers are being denied their rights and are forced to work long hours in hazardous conditions for very low pay. The issue of patents is another concern. Developing countries have been trying to protect their large pharmaceutical companies by introducing patent protections into free trade agreements. This would mean that generic brands of essential medicines would not be allowed to be sold. Additional free trade problems identified by Global Ministries include the privatization of government services such as education, health care, water, environmental protection, postal services, prisons, and transportation. This could mean that foreign corporations would be competing with local governments to provide basic services, thus causing prices for essential services to become unaffordable to many.
We'll pursue the fair trade, free trade discussion further with both of our interviewees, but first we want to read this press release from the Chico Peace and Justice Center concerning a celebration for Chico as a fair trade town. By way of full disclosure, we should mention that both of us work as volunteers at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. And here's the press release. Chico residents, local businesses, and Mayor Ann Schwab will join together for a ribbon-cutting ceremony inaugurating Chico as a fair trade town on Saturday, February 14th, 11 a.m. at the Art Hand statue outside City Hall on the corner of 4th and Wall. Chico has met standards set by Fairtrade USA, including having 16 local businesses committed to selling fair trade goods and receiving endorsement by the Chico City Council. This will be an important day for the city of Chico, says Jim Henson of the Chico Peace and Justice Center, who headed up the local efforts to earn Fairtrade Town certification. A great many people have worked together to earn this honor. In addition to the ribbon-cutting ceremony, the Peace and Justice Center will host a fair trade wine and chocolate reception honoring the local businesses which have pledged to carry goods carrying the fair trade imprimatur. The fair trade movement works toward international justice by providing living wages, good working conditions, and community development, says Sue Hildebrand, director of the Peace and Justice Center. This movement not only benefits workers around the world, but brings high-quality products that are sold at a fair price because they come directly to local consumers, she continues. The Chico Peace and Justice Center has a fair trade store that sells items such as coffee, chocolates, tea, jewelry, musical instruments, clothing, and gift items. This campaign helps to educate community members about fair trade, says Henson, and the response in Chico to this campaign has been exemplary. International businesses that earn fair trade certification have to meet rigid standards, adds Hildebrand. If you buy fair trade, you know where products come from and that they were produced under just business practices. We'll be back with Adrian Fitch-Frankel from Global Exchange right after this.
Bob Dylan singing One More Cup of Coffee, and we suspect that Bob Dylan drinks fair trade coffee. On the phone with us now is Adrian Fitch-Frankel, who is Global Exchange's fair trade cocoa campaigner. She also campaigns for conflict-free diamonds and was part of the Global Exchange Coordinated Coalition for Sweat-Free Legislation in San Francisco. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join you on your program, and what great music about chocolate. You're spoiling your listeners. That was like, I was very impressed. Very
we're pumping chocolate and coffee tonight with all of our musical selections.
Yeah, well, you can get intoxicated just on listening.
Very true. Could you tell us, please, Adrian, a little more about your work with Global Exchange, the Fair Trade Cocoa Campaign specifically, but perhaps more broadly, Global Exchange and its interest in fair trade?
Sure. So, of course, Global Exchange has a lot of different ways in which we go about working on fair trade issues. For one thing, there's the fair trade campaign, which I run. Secondly, we have the fair trade stores, both online and in person in several cities around the country. And then we also have our reality tours, which will take you right to the store so that you can actually experience fair trade yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So the fair trade campaign that I run is we focus right now mostly on chocolate, which is, of course, something that everybody loves. And, of course, everybody's thinking about it this week with regard to Valentine's Day. And so what we do, our main focus is something called Sweet Smarts, which is a national movement that we're building amongst especially parents, teachers and children, but also amongst members of the community in general, where people can take action in their very own communities and reach out to their neighbors and engage in really fun, exciting actions to raise awareness about fair trade, especially fair trade cocoa, but also more broadly about fair trade certification. So I'd like to give you just one example, if I may. One is reverse trick-or-treating. As you know, many holidays revolve around particular, revolve especially around chocolate. So, of course, Halloween is a big one. And one program that we launched a year ago is called reverse trick-or-treating. We just had our second year of it in 2008. This is something we do especially in partnership with Equal Exchange, and also with other nonprofits around the country, churches and schools. And what happens is that children all over the country and Canada go on their normal trick-or-treating rounds, and they go door-to-door collecting candy. But in addition to that, they go around handing candy back to adults. And
nice.
That candy is fair trade chocolate attached to an informational card with information about the problems in the cocoa industry and how fair trade creates a solution. So this year, we actually reached almost a quarter of a million households in a single night in Canada and the U.S., and 10 to 20,000 groups of school children, as well as adults and other concerned teenagers, et cetera, got involved, reached out to their neighbors and said, hey, we're taking a stand. We want to make a difference. Chocolate can be truly sweet in every regard.
So what are some of the problems in the cocoa industry? What's wrong with, like, regular cocoa?
Well, one of the main concerns, of course, is the child slavery and child labor problem.
Right.
There are over a quarter of a million children in abusive child labor conditions in West Africa, which is the source of 70% of the world's cocoa. And so these problems are very pervasive. Abusive child labor means that either children cannot go to school or that the work interferes with, either the work interferes with their schooling or they're in extremely hazardous conditions. For example, 153,000 of those children are applying pesticides in the cocoa fields with no protective gear whatsoever, according to the State Department and the International Labor Organization. So the other main problem is that it's estimated that as many as 12,000 children may be in abject situations of slavery. And this has been documented by respected media sources such as the BBC, where children are actually beaten, they're locked up at night, they're not paid for their labor, they're trafficked into the area. We're talking about very, very serious situations of slavery. And so when you eat chocolate, almost all chocolate in this country has been tainted with child slavery and child labor. So it makes the chocolate you're eating especially bitter.
That's a really vivid description, I think, of why we should buy fair trade.
Yeah.
I'm also, you mentioned something about pesticides, and I'm wondering about the environmental practices of fair trade products and how what sort of standard fair trade products are held to.
Yeah, this is kind of one of the best-kept secrets of fair trade, unfortunately, is that if you look at the, like, huge, like, 30-page or something document that has all the standards of fair trade, you know, there's, you know, the top of it is, you know, labor and prices and whatnot, but the bulk of it is actually environmental standards, which is a big surprise to a lot of people. And those environmental standards are very, very wide-ranging. But for one thing, you know, one thing I like to talk about a lot, coffee and cocoa are actually really similar in their cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they talk a lot about biodiversity and small farmers, et cetera, and how we're protecting the rainforest. When I went actually on our reality tour, this is available through Global Exchange, where people can actually go every December to help bring in the fair trade coffee harvest. And there was this dramatic difference to me. I'd been doing a lot of reading about the environmental differences between fair trade and non-fair trade, small farmers and big plantations. And it's so different when you're actually there. And so I went there, and, you know, like the first morning we're walking out to the coffee fields to help bring in the fair trade coffee farm harvest. And you walk along, and there's, like, butterflies everywhere, like of every description, and, like, dense forest overgrowth and all this stuff. And then the next day we were, you know, walking to get somewhere. We're walking through a coffee plantation. I mean, I didn't see a single butterfly. There were not the flocks of parrots overhead. I mean, it's just the difference is really dramatic between the small farmers who grow our fair trade cocoa and coffee and the big plantations.
I wonder if you could talk about any other examples of environmental protection. For example, I know you sell fair trade sneakers at the Global Exchange website, and it's notorious that many kids are in sweatshop conditions putting toxic glues on sneakers for major manufacturers. How does it differ with something like the Global Exchange Fair Trade sneakers?
Right, and those are actually sweat-free sneakers, which is a little bit different.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so, but with sweatshop-free goods and with fair trade crafts, in fair trade we mostly talk about the crafts that come out of the Fair Trade Federation members. And so if you go online to Fair Trade Federation, you'll find a whole list of those members. You can also buy them at the Global Exchange online store or probably at your fair trade store in Chico. And again, these are very much created with the principles in mind that Susan read off earlier around protecting, you know, environmental protection, environmental health protection, labor protections, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a very dramatic difference, just exactly like Susan outlined earlier in the program.
Some critics have argued that because of its global orientation, fair trade might be in conflict with the buy local, shop local movement and its efforts to put money into the hands of local producers. And in fact, as Chico was becoming established as a fair trade town, there was some questioning in the hearing before city council about what this was doing to local people if we're trying to sell and promote products from abroad. I wonder if you could comment on that, please.
Yeah, Global Exchange is actually a big promoter also of the buy local movement. And in fact, we're the host of the buy local website and buy local day. So I encourage you to visit our website at globalexchange.org to learn more about that movement as well. What's really the distinction, and we absolutely encourage people to buy local, but they're totally compatible. Mm-hmm. Most fair trade products, like for example, I work mostly on cocoa or coffee. These products only grow within 20 degrees of the equator.
Right.
We're fortunately not within 20 degrees of the equator. And so if you're going to go out and you're going to buy coffee or cocoa, you can't actually buy local. You can only buy it from production that's happening near the equator. And so fair trade really fills that gap. And I think the two things really go hand in hand. For products that don't grow here, buy fair trade. For products that do grow here, buy local.
We talked earlier in the program about the free trade, fair trade distinction. And it's unfortunate those terms are so easily confused. But it seems to us that these two are not necessarily in conflict. That is, you could have free trade agreements that emphasized fair trade principles. But in general, the fair trade movement sees free trade as a competition and denigrating to the workers. I wonder if you could comment a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, I think one thing that's probably confusing to folks is that there's a couple of different takes on fair trade that in the context we're using it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's fair trade versus free trade, and fair trade being a principle. And there's fair trade as a fair trade system. For example, the fair trade certified products that you see and the fair trade crafts that you see where those are produced under certain circumstances. So where you're talking about fair trade versus free trade, we're really looking at the way I really like to think about it best is elevating the playing field. I love that term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of just saying, you know, there's going to be either free, I think you're exactly on point where, you know, these things, the best benefits that we can get from free trade, we don't have to abandon those in order to have fair trade. We can have our cake, our fair trade chocolate cake, and eat it too. By elevating the playing field so that everybody plays according to the same rules in terms of workers getting a fair wage, farmers getting a fair price, environmental protections, if everybody's playing by the same rules, that's exactly what business likes. Business, according to the best economic principles, is still going to play, you know, is going to have a level playing field. That's what you're looking for, according to the best economists. And so what you want to do is elevate that playing field so that it's still level. It's just that it's at a higher, it's so that it truly is serving people and the planet in the way that it really should. And so I think that's what's really key and really pivotal.
And I've noticed that you've been involved in looking over kind of your bio, that you've been involved in a lot of range of activities for human rights. You've done the sweatshop free legislation in San Francisco, and you've done some domestic projects as well as international projects. And I'm wondering how you got into this kind of work. What inspired you to take on these kinds of activities?
It's been definitely a long path. And for me, it started, you know, definitely when I was a very young child, about 8 years old, when I started raising money to end the famines in East Africa the time. And many of us remember those horrible famines in the 70s and then again in the 80s, where, you know, you woke up in the morning and splashed across your newspaper, there were skeletons walking across the deserts of Africa during those droughts. And I think that that's what's so exciting about the pioneering work that Global Exchange is doing today in terms of fair trade. We're really pioneering in many ways, reaching out to young children and empowering them to get involved, to take a stand, that they have the power to make a difference, to reach out to their peers who are in slavery in Africa, their peers who are being deprived of an education in Latin America, and saying, we will not stand for this. We don't want candy that, you know, is tainted by these things. We know that we can have candy, that you can be drinking coffee, tea, etc., that makes a difference. And also in the process, that children and their parents and their teachers and their communities and the people who are getting them involved will also benefit, because these children will be trained and everyone around them will be trained in how to get involved in advocacy and how to make a difference. And to learn more about those programs, I really encourage people to visit our website at globalexchange.org/COCO. That's globalexchange.org/COCO. And you can learn all about our Sweet Smarts program, our Reverse Sugar Treating program. This week we're actually doing the National Valentine's Day of Action, and we definitely encourage people to visit the website. There are downloadable Valentine's Day inserts, and you can tell your loved ones all about fair trade using our clever inserts. But also teachers all in 32 states around the country, involving over 3,000 children, are going to be teaching our fair trade chocolate curriculum. And so this is this huge, I mean, 3,000 kids, and it's a huge number of kids who are going to learn about fair trade this week. And so we're really excited about that.
We have to put in a brief plug, too, for Global Exchange. Generally, we've been members for years, and listeners, if you don't know about Global Exchange, check out their website, globalexchange.org. They're doing remarkable work and really are making a difference around the world. Adrian, we know you have another meeting that started about 15 seconds ago, so we'll thank you very much. This is Adrian Fitch-Frankel of Global Exchange, and again, be sure to check out their website, which we will post on our website. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. And congratulations to Chico for being the next fair trade town. Yes. Huge congratulations.
Thanks
for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota, and the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
This is Ecotopia on KCFR, and tonight we're talking about fair trade, including coffee, as serenaded by Frank Sinatra. With us in the studio is Liza Tedesco, the interim general manager of Chico Natural Foods, the co-op here in Chico. She also works with Equal Exchange, which supplies fair trade products all over the U.S. Liza has been a speaker at This Way to Sustainability conference at Chico State, and she's collaborated with the Chico Peace and Justice Center at creating Fair Trade Town and at a meeting for local women. Welcome, Liza. I don't know what I just said.
That was very close, yeah.
You don't know what I just said. What did you do?
Thank you. Well, that one was with the Chico Peace and Justice Center. We had a local women in fair trade meeting, conference.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. So Chico Natural Foods is a major fair. We'll ask you a little bit more about that later, too. It's a major fair trade store here in town. What products does Chico Natural Foods carry that are fair trade products?
We have, I think, quite an assortment. We have chocolate, of course.
Yes.
Tea and coffee. Yes. Lots of coffee. We have cocoa. We have sugars, spices, herbs, vanilla, rice, quinoa, bananas. We periodically carry avocados. Mm-hmm. We have ready-to-drink beverages called kombucha and teas and sodas that are also fair trade certified, and ice cream.
So how do you learn about these products? Is this the Equal Exchange organization that you work with to identify the products that you carry?
That we carry in the store? Well, with Equal Exchange is one of the distributors of fair trade products.
Okay.
So they definitely supply a lot of the education. Most of how we learn about the fair trade products is through the independent distributors or through the brokers or, you know, any number one of the market representatives that come in and say, hey, we've got this new product. You know, we want you to check it out. This is what they're doing.
Okay.
This is how they're supporting the producer countries. So there's multiple venues that we get access to these products.
Okay. And so how do they get to Chico then?
How do they get to Chico?
Yeah.
Well, actually, they come in via, in any number of ways. A distributor, we have our major distributor called UNFI that brings in a lot of the products. Or we order directly from the companies themselves, like Equal Exchange or Alter Eco or some of the companies.
One of the premises of the fair trade movement is that it cuts out middlemen and reduces expenses in that way. Could you talk a little bit about that, please? Does that work in terms of your supplies?
Yes. For example, the conventional coffee chain will start with a small farmer, then will be sold to the middleman, who will sell to a processor or exporter, then to a U.S. broker, then to a coffee company, then to a food distributor, then to a store or cafe, then ultimately to the consumer. So you can see there's multiple steps, and each one of those steps will take a cut of the profits.
Right, right.
So with Equal Exchanges, for example, as a cooperative coffee company, they buy from the small farmer brings the coffee to a coffee cooperative in the producer country, mm-hmm. who then sells to Equal Exchange, who then sells to the cafe or store, and then goes to the consumer. So I would say at least half of the middlemen are knocked out in that process.
So what kind of responses have you gotten from customers about fair trade? Do you think that this is something that customers are demanding, or have you created the demand for it by saying this is something we know is important, or is it a combination maybe of those?
I would definitely say it's a combination. There has been a combined effort of our education and speaking to the consumers about the value of and the importance and the ethics of fair trade, but the consumer has also come to the store and said, we want more fair trade products. We want to support this. We believe in the principles and the ideas, and we want to see it represented in our co-op.
We asked this question of Adrian, and I just wondered what your take on it is, because it seems to me that the co-op offers more products than what we were talking about with Adrian, about the relationship between buying locally and regionally and buying fair trade items, which are tend to be international.
Right.
So how do you balance that, or what kinds of concerns do you have when you're, for example, avocados, fair trade avocados versus ones that are grown more regionally?
I would say that it provides an interesting dialogue, and, and it definitely is one that we have to continue to explore. I mean, we can't isolate one market at expense of the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's developing the ideology, the principles behind it, that is what is most important to cultivate.
Okay.
So we can develop our local economy while also developing these rural producer countries and allowing them access to market instead of just having these global massive corporations having, you know, the main profit from it. So it's an important balance between both.
So you see the ideology underlying that as being consistent, really, that what you're trying to do is provide the worker sustainable products with a fair wage and getting products that are produced in ways that are healthy and
right.
environmentally sound as well.
Right.
As part of your work with Equal Exchange, you've traveled to Peru. You stayed at the home of Carlos and Reina Herrera. Please tell us about that visit and what fair trade has meant to them.
Yeah, that was a really profound experience. With Equal Exchange, every other year they take natural foods managers and investors to producer countries.
Nice.
So in July of 2007, I traveled with a small group of people to Peru. We basically started out and met with the National Coffee Board of Peru. We learned about the whole country's politics of coffee, the history of coffee production. Then we visited several cooperatives, large cooperatives, that those producers, those small rural families, would bring their product to that large cooperative. We talked about the supply
mm-hmm.
chain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we ended up in northern Peru, in Piura, and we visited a cooperative called Sepi Cafe. We really learned about the intricacies of their relationships with the producer country, with the producer families.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got on a little small bus and we traveled 5 hours on a dirt road to this rather small village on the border of Ecuador. Virtually no running water, no electricity. Really fantastic, fantastic village. And we each got to stay with a family.
Thanks.
They didn't speak English. I speak very, very limited Spanish, and stayed with them and their family. We went into the coffee orchards, picked coffee, had community celebrations, walked through their gardens, and learned and saw what the they have these mother's gardens that they grow the vegetables for the whole village. And I think the essence of it is really understanding at a core level where the food comes from, mm-hmm. where the food comes from, and how fair trade has enabled this very small village to have an access to market, to provide them with a means of a quality living, a future for their families, to celebrate their cultural identities, to maintain their cultural identities, and to continue to expand it rather than to disintegrate into sort of, you know, into the back mountains where nobody knows where they are.
Right. And did you, what do you know about the certification process for making sure that people are paid a fair wage, that the environmental practices are sustainable practices, that how that whole process works? Did you get to see any of that in action?
That would really rely, I think, on the integrity and the transparency of the importers, such as Equal Exchange, mm-hmm. and the cooperatives, to maintain an articulate and transparent relationship and an open documentation process that shows, you know, making sure that all the money and all of the social premiums are being paid back into the community. So I think it's important to have watchdogs always mm-hmm. making sure that when we have these principles and practices on paper, that they're actually being applied to the people.
One of the things that I've noticed by being in various poor countries that are very rural is that they would like to maintain those rural practices of sustainable agriculture, for example. They can't afford and they don't want the chemicals that we often use here, and so supporting them so that they can produce things and maintain their farms in the kind of pure way that they have forever seems like a really valuable thing.
Yeah, they spoke with great pride about their experiences and their ability to be self-sustaining, to get education and be able to, you know, to grow and to learn. Dignity is a word that kept coming up over and over again, that they finally had a sense of dignity, whereas before there was a great deal of alcoholism and there was a great deal of lots of babies, not a lot of work. And so dignity was certain that something that came up, and the cooperative in Piura and the manufacturers like Equal Exchange, cooperatives like Equal Exchange, provide them with access to agronomists, to you know, building their business practices, that kind of stuff, so they can actually continue to, you know, to increase their access to market.
Right. So they're getting some sort of in-service training at the same time that they are marketing their products.
Right. And they definitely value the organic certification. They really respected the land. The land was everything to them, something we really don't have a significant concept of as in the U.S. compared to what I experienced there.
You talked a few minutes ago, and I was, like, really confused about it, about local women in fair trade, that meeting in October. What was that all about, and what were you working on? What were you trying to accomplish?
That was a meeting that was organized by Rachel Morones Black, who is the former director of the Chico Peace and Justice Center, and she invited me to collaborate with her on that. And that was basically a meeting that we had at the Women's Center, or the Women's Club, and we wanted to discuss the role of women in less developed countries and how fair trade can impact those women and how local women can you know, support their business practices as well. So we provided an overview of fair trade principles and practices, and we covered two women's cooperatives. One is a shea butter cooperative in Togo, which is in Western Africa, and Nueva Vida, which is a sewing cooperative in Managua, Nicaragua.
Nice.
So we basically discussed how these women, how women organized and built sustainable business practices and living practices.
Nice. And so are those products flowing to here?
Well, we carry Alafia. Actually, I forgot to mention that before.
Okay,
so
good.
We do carry Alafia at the co-op, which is a shea butter. It's a skincare line and all different types of products. So Nueva Vida, the sewing cooperative, that's a direct response to sweat swap labor that happens in Central America. We don't have them at the co-op, but, you know, we do try to make sure that the clothing that we carry is... It's called GOTS standard. It's a similar type of, not to fair trade, but a similar type of certification standards, which make sure that anything that's produced outside of the U.S. has certain qualifications that are adhered to with respect to labor, to child labor, to payment, and, you know, health care and all that. This important factors.
Now, you're one of the Fair Trade Town stores, Chico Natural Foods. And what do you think that will mean to the people of Chico to have this group of stores that are offering fair trade?
I think it's a recognition that we, as a healthy community, acknowledge the need to support the building of a healthy community and self-sustaining communities globally. So it's that relationship. It's the recognition of the vitality of that relationship. To me, it is an increased... more visible opportunity to educate children and adults about the distinction of producing food in an ethical and sustaining manner.
And I thought Adrienne's examples, I don't know if you heard her interview, but she was describing the terrible labor practices with children in chocolate, you know, picking cocoa in cocoa farms.
Yeah.
And I think those kinds of descriptions really help us see what the difference is and what that means. So what do you think the future is for fair trade? We're in the midst of an economic downturn. We have a crisis in world food prices and availability. Can fair trade still thrive in those circumstances?
You know, I think that's a tough question. We really don't know where we're moving in this economy. I think that possibly by fair trade's equalizing hand on market highs and lows, the strengthening of lesser developed countries' infrastructures with social premiums, and by supporting democratic organizations of small farmers, which provides the stability needed to survive and plan for the future. By supporting small scale farmers rather than favoring global corporations, that fair trade can definitely have a strong influence. I would think it would be. I don't think we can say that fair trade is the answer for everything.
Right, right.
I think it's important to make sure that we're careful about that. But right. I think it can provide us with an ideology and some fundamental practices to operate from.
That's excellent. We have been talking with Liza Tedesco. She's the interim manager at Chico Natural Foods and an active participant in Equal Exchange's Global Fair Trade Project. Be sure and stop by the co-op to check out their fair trade items. I know they have chocolate because I just bought some for Valentine's Day or just a snack before the radio program goes on. And you can also find them on the web at www.chiconatural.net. Thank you so much, Liza. We appreciate your coming into the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
KZFR Community Calendar for Tuesday, February 10th. The Sunshine Kids Club presents wheelchair basketball. That's Tuesday, every Tuesday from 3:30 to 4:30 through today, the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th of February and in March at Our Divine Savior Church, 566 East Lassen Avenue. Call 776-5095. Little Chico Creek Watershed Group Annual Gather. Everyone is welcome to join in Wednesday from 5:30 to 8 at 1200 Park Avenue. In the meeting room, there'll be local food and an activity. Call 892-1227. Now through Friday the 27th, the Boys and Girls Club will be collecting empty cans and bottles at the Chico Teen Center at the corner of 6th and Wall. This is to raise money to help fight Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And they will present a check to Darius Weems, who will be at the Sierra Nevada Big Room Thursday evening. He is the star of the movie Darius Goes West, and that will be at the Sierra Nevada Big Room, in the evening on 20th Street. Call 222-4791. Darwin Day is a celebration of Charles Darwin. Thursday, there's a 200th birthday party at the Sylvester Cafe from 10 to 3. And let's see, also on Thursday, Inherit the Wind, that's a movie, and that'll be at Holt Hall at 7 p.m. On Friday, a lecture by Dr. Art Shapiro, Evolution and Ecology. And let's see, that's at Holt Hall 170 from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. And on Saturday, there'll be field trips led by the Chico State faculty. A Touch of Shalom. Enjoy an evening of sensory delights with your Valentine. On Friday, February 13th, 6:30 to 9:30 at 1190 East 1st Avenue. Tickets will be available at the door, and you can get a discount with a dessert. Call 518-8422. Chico becomes a fair trade town. Mayor Schwab will cut the ribbon on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Art Hands, a statue outside the City Hall. Call 893-9078. The Sierra Club Yahi Group will have they'll have a cross-country ski trip on Sunday. Call 342-7998. And let's see, the Butte County Development Services will have two study sessions concerning goal and policy development for Butte County General Plan 2030. This is open to the public, and they are encouraged to come. Two workshops, February the 18th, Wednesday, and February the 19th, a Thursday, and they're all day long. So if you're interested, call 538-7631. And that's your KZFR community calendar for Tuesday, February 10th. If you have a nonprofit event that you'd like on our calendar, fax it to 895-0775. Call us at 895-0706. Stay tuned to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico.
And stay tuned for The Storyteller at 7 o'clock this evening. Are you ready for a trip around the world? Tune in to The Storyteller and journey to places near and far. Explore traditions from long ago and modern-day cultures with your anthropological guide, Adrian Scott. And then at 7:30, it's All Mixed Up with Mark, Mike, and Jeff. All Mixed Up bringing you 2.5 hours of rock and pop from the edges of mainstream and contemporary music. We also want to remind you that Ecotopia is made possible by member contributions and by Green Ovations. Based in Chico, Green Ovations specializes in energy-focused retrofitting and green building upgrades. They offer in-home energy audits, diagnostic testing, and environmentally friendly products for home improvements. Green Ovations can be reached by calling 895-9700, and they're on the web at green-o-vations.com. And we are brought to you by Serenity Homes, specializing in Fuqua manufactured homes built using sustainable building practices. They now offer over 70 floor plans with assistance on all on-site developmental needs, from permits to the final inspection. More information is available on the web at www.serenityhomes.com or at their showroom located at 2490 Bruce Road. Serenity Homes can be reached by calling 566-9480.
We come now to the do-it-yourself part of the program, where we encourage you to take action on our weekly topic, in this case, fair trade. Attend the ribbon cutting ceremony establishing Chico as a fair trade town Saturday, February 14th, at 11 a.m. at the Art Hands just northwest of City Hall at 4th and Wall.
Global Ministries, whom we quoted earlier, recommends that you contact the Office of the United States Trade Representative, USTR. This is a federal agency of over 200 people who negotiate directly with foreign governments to create trade agreements, to resolve disputes, and to participate in global trade policy organizations. They also meet with governments, business groups, legislators, and public interest groups to gather input on trade issues and explain the president's trade policy positions. You can urge that USTR always negotiate for fair trade practices. The contact information is listed on their website, http://www.ustr.gov.
Learn more about Free Trade Area of the Americas. You may find information by contacting the United States Trade Representative Office or by contacting Oxfam America at 1-800-776-9326 or visiting their website at www.oxfamamerica.org.
And the next time you go shopping, try to purchase products that have been traded fairly. You can get a good idea of the range of products available at the Chico Peace and Justice Center Fair Trade Store on 526 Broadway. And CPJC can also give you a list of the 16 area merchants, soon to grow to 19, who carry fair trade goods. In Chico, a fair trade town. That's Ecotopia for tonight. Thank you for listening. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Contact us at ecotopia@kzfr.org or visit our website, ecotopiakzfr.net. Good night.
Weaver, 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 me the sunshine out of the falling rain.